Yiraisa.
Today's Amud is Sukkah Memdalad Amabiz. We're holding on the top line on Memdalad Amabiz by Amar Abami. So the last discussion we had on Amud Aleph was regarding the mitzvah varava, if it's the Yisoy Nevi'im, meaning that the Nevi'im made it as a takana, they made a takana that we should take that rava on the seventh day of Sukkot, in which case it's gonna be a chiv midrabanan, and you could even make a bracha. Or perhaps it's just minug Nevi'im, it's just something which became a minug, and mamela we don't make a bracha. So we're gonna come back to that discussion shortly, but first says the Gemara, Amrav Ami, that arava tzricha shir. Rav Ami tells us three halachas about the arava. Number one is that the arava has to have a shir. The arava that we take on the last day of Sukkot, so there's a shir for the arava. We'll see soon in the Gemara what that shir is. Ve'ena nitelas ela bifnei atzma. There's another halacha that when you take the arava on the seventh day of Sukkot, you have to take it by itself. It's supposed to be nikkur, and therefore you have to take it by itself, not bound with something else. Ve'ein adam yaitzei de chayvasai ba'arava shebelulav. And also, you can't be yaitzei the mitzvah of arava or the minhag of arava with the arava that's already in the lulav. You can't just hold up the lulav and be yaitzei with that arava. So says the Gemara that once you have the second idea, kevan damar mar ena nitelas ela bifnei atzma. Once Rav Ami taught us that you have to take the arava by itself, so then pshitach de ena adam yaitze be arava shevelulav. So then it would seem obvious that you can't be yaitze the mitzvah with the arava that's bound together with the lulav and the hadasim. Why did Rav Ami have to tell us that third halacha that you can't be yaitze with the arava that's together with the hadasim and the lulav? So says the Gemara, Ma'u d'tema, I would have thought to say that Hani mili heichad loy agbe v'hadar agbe, that the problem with being yaitze the mitzvah v'arava when it's bound together, let's say with the lulav and the hadasim, it's bound together with something else, that's only if you don't pick it up a second time, because then it's not nikkur that you're doing it for the arava. Aval agbe v'hadar agbe emaloy, but if you pick it up a second time, so I might have thought that now it's nikkur, now you're good to go. Kamash malon, that no, you still can't be yaitze. You can never be yaitze when the arava is together with something else, and therefore you can't be yaitze the mitzvah even if you pick it up a second time, and it would seem that it's nikkur now that you're doing it l'shem that arava, still you're not yaitze like that. However, Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Chista said in the name of Rav Yitzchak that Adam yaitze yedei chayvasai ba'arava shebalulav. He said that no taka, if you pick it up a second time, so now you could be yaitze the mitzvah with that rava that's in the lulav. Again, as long as you pick it up a second time, so now it's nikkur that you're picking it up for the mitzvah of that rava, so now you could be yaitze like that. The Kamish Yura, we mentioned Rav Ami said that there's a shir to the arava. He never told us what's the shir. So now ask the Gemara of a Kamashi'ura, what is the shir of the Arava? So Amar Rav Nachman said, it's Shleisha Badi Alin, Lachin, it's three stems with fresh leaves. That's the shir of the Arava. Rav Shesha Samar, that Afilu Allah Echad Ubad Echad. Now no, even just one stem and one leaf, hold it together and you're good to go. In fact, the Gemara, is that really true? Allah echad ubat echad salkadaitach. You really think you could be yaitze the mitzvah with just one stem and one leaf? Rashi says it's not nikkur. How could you be yaitze with one stem and one leaf? So says the Gemara, ela ema afilu Allah echad bivat echad. Not a stem and a leaf and you hold it together. It means even a stem with a leaf that's on it, so now the leaf is nikkur. Just holding a leaf in your hand, no one's gonna see it. But even a stem with a leaf on it, with just one leaf on it, that's enough for the mitzvah. So that's the shear of the arava. According to Rav Nachman, you have to have three stems with leaves, and according to Rav Sheshes, even just one stem with one leaf on it. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us how tall the arava has to be. So Rashi learns that from the Stimas Lashon of the Gemara that it's just a kol shu, even though when it comes to the arava and the lulav, that the Gemara said it's three tvachim. Here the Gemara doesn't tell us that there's a shear of gimel tvachim, and Rashi therefore says that no, here the shear is a kol shu, it could be even tiny. However, the Ran learns the opposite. He learns that from the fact that the Gemara didn't tell us, it's because it's the same shear as what we had by the lulav. So just like by the lulav, the arava had to be three tvachim. Here too also the Ran learns that the arava has to be three tvachim tall. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Aivu, Ivu, who was the father of Rav, like we had in Mesachas Pesachim. So Ivu, the father of Rav, said that have a ka'imna kamed Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. One time I was standing in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok, va'ais yahu gavra Rava kame. And a certain person came in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok with an arava, and shakol chavit chavit v'loy baruch. He took it and he shook it. Chavit means he shook it, v'loy baruch, and he did not make a bracha. So why didn't he make a bracha when he was mekayim this mitzvah v'arava? It must be k'savar minhag neviyamu. It must be he held that it's not yisoy neviyam, rather arava is just a minhag neviyam, it's just a minhag, and memeli we don't make a bracha. Aivu v'chizkiya b'nei barte de rav. Ivu and Chizkiya, who are the sons of the daughter of Rav, so they're Ran's grandchildren, so this is not the same Ivu that we just had before. The Ivu that we were discussing before was the father of Rav. This is the great-grandchild of the previous Ivu. This Ivu and Chizkiya, who are the sons of the daughters of Rav, So Aisu Aravu Lekame de Rav. They one time brought an Arava in front of Rav, and Chavid Vloy Baruch, he took it and he shook it and he did not make a bracha. Also Kasavar Minig Neviemu, he held like his father that it's just a Minig Neviem, it's not a Yisai Neviem. Amar Aivu. Aivu one time said that Hava Ke'imna, this is back to the father of Rav, that Aivu, the father of Rav, one time said, Hava Ke'imna Kamed Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. I was one time standing in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok, and that's really the shaychus to the previous Gemara, is that this is another memory from Aivu when he was standing in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. This is going to have nothing to do with Arava anymore, but it's just another memory of Aivu when he was standing in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. And also the Kamei Ahu Gavra. And a certain man came in front of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. And Amarlei, and this man said to Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok, he asked the Shailo, he said, Kiryasa Isli, you should know I have some villages. And Karmaya Isli, I have some vineyards. Zaysaya Isli, and I have some olive trees. Va'asu b'nei Karyasa, my workers from the villages, they came, umikashkishin bikarmaya, and they're doing work, they're hoeing the vineyard, and this was talking about on Shemitah, Rashi fills us in, so it was Shemitah, and they were hoeing, and they were working the vineyard, v'aichlin bezeisaya, and for payment, they eat from the olive tree. And therefore, so it comes out to that there's really, really two issues going on over here. First of all, they're working the vineyard on Shemitah, but what's more relevant maybe to this person who is asking the Shiloh is that he has these olive trees that are sort of paying the workers. So he's paying the workers with Shemitah produce. So he asked Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok, Arich Ailai Arich, is it okay? Is it mutter or not mutter? So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok told him, Lo yarech, no, you're not allowed to use Perush Shvias to pay your workers, and Mamela, what you're doing is not okay, what you're doing is Aser. So have a Kashavik Leva Azel. So right away, this person who asked the Shiloh, he left from Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok. And Amar, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok, commented about this person, I guess, to Aivu or to his Talmidim. He commented to those that were there. He said, Kadu Havesi Dairi Ba'ara Hada. I've lived in this town, Arba in Shnin, for 40 years. V'leichamesi Bar Inish Mahalech Ba'archan De Taknan Kedain. And I've never seen, V'leichamesi, I've never seen Bar Inish, a human being, Mahalech Ba'archan, that was going, Ba'archan De Taknan Kedain, that was going in such proper ways like this person, Kadain, like this person, I've never seen such a great person. And the Gemara does not fill us in on exactly what Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok saw in this person. If anything, it maybe seems like he was like an Am Haaretz shtickle. He didn't know that it was usher to use Perush Shvias to pay his workers. So what was it that Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok saw in this person? The Gemara, Rashi, does not fill us in. I believe maybe it's Darach Lener, or for sure I saw Rav Yisrael Salanter. It's brought in a footnote in the red Madriga Sa'adam on page Kuf Samach Beis. So he explains that what Rabbi Elazar bar Tzaddok saw in this person is the fact that as soon as he heard that it was Aser what he was doing, he right away ran to go take care of it. He left right away, didn't even say goodbye. Right away, as soon as he found out that what he was doing was a problem, he had such Yirah Shemayim that he went right away to go tell the workers that they can't take, that he can't pay them from the olive tree. And otherwise, we're going to see soon, he's going to come back now to ask what to do. But before asking even what to do now for the future, going forward, he had had to right away run and stop them from what they were doing because Yitzatz Yireh Shemayim. Hadar Va'aseh, says the Gemara, eventually this man then came back after he took care with what he had to take care of. Va'amarleh, and he asked again another Shailah to Blaza Bar Tzaduk. He said, my Mevad, he said, how should I go? How should I proceed going forward? What should I do? How should I pay my workers? So Amarleh, so he said to the man, Blaza Bar Tzaduk said to him, Afker Zeisayo L'chashu Chayo. First of all, you have to be mafker your olive trees to poor people. Really to everybody. Shemitah is hefker lako. It's not just the poor people. So you have to be mafker your olive trees to everybody. The same pritaya lekashkushe kramim. And then you have to pay your workers money, but you can't pay them with the olive tree. So that was the eitzah that Reb Elazar bar Tzaddik told this person that he can't pay them from the olive tree. He has to just pay them cash. But again, you see, before he even asked what to do, before this person asked how to proceed going forward, he first right away went to take care of what he had to take care of. And so that was the greatness that Reb Elazar bar Tzaddik saw in him. Now, with regards to the malacha that the workers were doing in the field, so we said that seems to be a problem also. So why wasn't that a problem? Why wasn't it a problem that which the workers were working, they were hoeing the vineyard? So says the Gemara, v'kashkushe mishari, was it mutter? They had some work that they were doing in the vineyard. Was that really okay? What happened to Avodas Karka on Shemitah? They're not allowed to work the field. V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, v'ashvias tishmetano unetashto, that we darshan from this pasuk, tishmetano milakashkish unetashto milasakyo, that you have to let the field rest from different malachis. The malachis that the Chazal specified over here was kishkush, was hoeing the field, and also milasakyo, from removing the stones. So you see that this malacha is aser. So how is it that no one seems to say that the etzem malacha that the workers were doing was problematic? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ukva Bar Chama, Trei Kashkushe Havu. There's two different types of Kashkushe. Two different types. One of them is going to be aser, one of them is going to be mutter. The one that's aser is the one described in the drasha. The one that's mutter is the one that these workers were doing. What are these two types? Chad Satume Pile. One's when you cover up the cracks, when there are cracks that are by the roots of the vines. So when you fill in the cracks with dirt, so that's one type of Kashkushe. And that just makes it just that the trees, that the vines survive. Meaning that's not in order to improve the vines necessarily. That's just to make it that they push it survive, that they don't die. V'chad avruye ilane. Then there's another type of kishkush, which is avruye ilane. Rashi says it's when you take the dirt that is already covering the roots. There already is dirt there. And you pick it up and you put it back down and you mix it up. You make it extra soft and that makes the vines grow better. So avruye ilane aser. To improve the vines, that's problematic on Shemitah. That you're not allowed to do. However, satume pile share, just to cover up the cracks, just so that the vines survive, so they don't die, that's something which is mutter on Shemitah, and that's what these workers were doing. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Aivu Mishurma Belazar bar Tzaduk. Aivu says another memra in the name of Reb Elazar bar Tzaduk. Here he wasn't standing in front of him, here he's just stam quoting Reb Elazar bar Tzaduk. Al yahalech adam ba'arve shabbosais yaiser mishalosh parsois. Reb Elazar bar Tzaduk said that a person's not supposed to travel on Erev Shabbos too far. He's not supposed to travel more than three parsois. Three parsois, each parsa is 4 mil, so three parsois comes out to be 12 mil. If we assume a mil is 18 minutes, so that would come out to be about 3.5 hours. A person's not supposed to travel so far in Erev Shabbos, and Rashi tells us, and we'll really see from the Gemara in Vayter, that the reason for this is because he wants a person to be home with enough time to prepare the Suda Shabbos, and therefore he shouldn't travel too far. Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana explained, he's that the Lay Amran Ella Labese. That this that Reb Elazar bar Tzaduk said a person shouldn't travel too far, that's only if he's going home for Shabbos, because if he's going home for Shabbos, his family might not realize that he was coming home, because he was so far away. They might not realize that he was coming home. They're not going to prepare food for him. And he was expecting them to prepare food for him. And he's going to get very upset at them, and therefore that's when he shouldn't be traveling so far. But if he's going to be hosted by someone else, so then he's not expecting them to prepare food for him. They don't even know who he is at this point. He's traveling, and they don't know. They definitely don't know that he's coming. And therefore, anyways, he's going to have his own food. He knows that they're not preparing food for him. He's going to have his own food, and therefore, there's no problem. So the problem's only if he's going to his house, but not if he's going to be hosted by someone else. Says the Gemara, Amai, why is it that when he goes to be a host by someone else, when he's going to be a guest by someone else, that he's allowed to travel? So like we just explained, the Naket Samech, because he's going to have food with him, he's going to bring it with him, he's going to have it by him, and therefore there's no concern. V'ika Damri, however, there's another version, that Amrav Kahana, l'nitztachra ella afilu lebeise, that this, the Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik said, a person is not supposed to travel so much Erev Shabbos, that's even if he's going to his own house, where whatever food there is, at least it's his food and he'll eat it. So you might think that that's okay. At the end of the day, he'll have at least a little bit of food, and it'll be his, so it'll be for him. So no, he can't even travel, even if it's to his own house. Surely if he's going to someone else's house, where they might not have food for him, that's going to be a problem. He's not going to have any food. Even if he's going to his own house, where whatever little food will be his, still he's not allowed to travel. Rav Kahana then commented, and he said, that Bedidi Hava Uvda, it once even happened to me, that I had to travel 3 parsais on an Erev Shabbos, and I came to my house, Vafilu Kasa Daharsana Lai Ashkechi, and even just Kasa Daharsana, Rashi says, is a very little, it's a Suda Mu'etes, it's a very small Suda, Rashi gives us the recipe, it's fish fried with flour, and some fat, and even that, they didn't have. And therefore, Rav Kahana was saying, that you see how right Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik was, when he said that a person is not supposed to travel too far in Erev Shabbos. So now the Aruch Haner asked, then how did Rav Kahana himself do that? And as much as he knew, obviously, the memra of Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, that a person is not supposed to travel 3 parsais on Erev Shabbos, so why did he have a Bedidi Hava Uvda? Why did Rav Kahana go against Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok's warning? So the Aruch Haner explains that Rav Kahana must have been in a place where it was a sakana, where he had to travel. And obviously, if a person's in a matzav of a sakana, or if stamef, anyways, he doesn't have food, so then, of course, he'll be allowed to travel. So Rav Kahana had a heter in this situation. So that's why Rav Kahana had a bedidi hava uvda, because he had a heter to travel in this case. But still, Rav Kahana was pointing this out. The Gemara is bringing it to show how right Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik is. Because this one time happened to Rav Kahana, again, it was by force. He had to do it, and look what happened. Taka didn't work out, and he didn't end up getting any food. So you see how right Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik was.